I'm your host, E. Lawrence Williams, and I want to welcome you to this edition of World Missions Moment on Q, where we put the focus on Christians living and serving in restricted nations and nations hostile to Christianity. Our purpose is to make you aware of both the struggles of Christians as well as the amazing things God is doing against his opposition in areas hostile to Jesus Christ. And now for today's program. All right, welcome to this edition of World Missions Moment on Q. I'm E. Lawrence Williams, and today I have in the studio with me two missionaries, a couple that have been serving on the mission field for a number of years. And my wife and I have known them for a number of years and have supported them. And I have with me today Amet and Alexia Fall. How are you two doing today?
We are doing great. Praise God.
Yes, we're doing well, and we're happy to be here with you this morning.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm glad you guys could take the time out and spend a few minutes with our audience. So I would like to start by asking you first, Amet, how did you become involved in missions work?
After I met the Lord a long time ago, I expressed my desire to study the Bible. And I went to the Bible school. And at the beginning, the purpose of that was to just study the Bible, to know the Bible better, you know. And after a year, I felt that God calls me to be involved in the ministry. Mm. It was a long time ago. And when I finished my time in Bible school, I made myself available for the Lord, you know. And since that day, 1986, I'm serving the Lord in Senegal and other countries in around the world with my wife, of course.
Awesome, awesome. Well, and how about you, Alexia? What was your journey like in terms of being coming to a place where you are now on the mission field?
Oh, well, shortly after, well, as soon as I came to know the Lord, I knew I was supposed to serve God, but I didn't know in what capacity. So I started taking Bible courses. I started teaching Sunday school for the little kids, which I learned a lot about the Bible because you have to be prepared. And I also even tried out for the church play, but I didn't get any parts, so apparently I can't act. But I continued to take courses, and shortly after that, we had missionaries come and visit our church and preach at our church, and the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and told me that that's what I was supposed to do. So I started preparing, and it was a little bit of a road, but God confirmed it, and short after that, in 2005, I arrived in Senegal.
Well, you know, I remember, it's funny how things come full circle, because I remember you being commissioned at the church that we were attending at the time. You were on the stage with your daughter. And it was just to see someone willing to go to the mission field was amazing to me, because, you know, a lot of times we think missions, some people think Africa, just exactly where you are. But in their mind, it's not something they would want to do. And I take it that, you know, you knew what God wanted you to do. You were willing to go wherever he was wanted to send you. Now, do you serve on the mission field together. Mm-hmm. How did you meet, and what was the result of that meeting?
Well, early on, I met Amet in the office of our mission complex there, and he came to set up a program there because there was a conference area and things like that. And at first, when I met him, I was like, oh, he's kind of scary. Because the sun was beating down in his eyes, and he had to kind of a scowl on his frown and on his forehead. And I thought, wow, he's kind of scary. But then shortly after that, I was invited by a veteran missionary to go visit an orphanage out in the villages. And it turned, and he's the one who picked us up at another ministry in Dakar, in the capital city of Senegal, and took us out there. And I got to see his ministry. He ran an orphanage in the village. And I still was a little confused of what his name was and everything. But shortly after that, in the same year that I arrived in Senegal, there was a big flood, and all the veteran missionaries on my mission team had gone back to the United States for a home ministry assignment and left me in charge. Well, when the flood hit, well, I don't know if you remember when Katrina hit in the U.S., well, that started in Senegal. There was a 30-year drought, and then we had these huge rains, and it built up and went to the U.S. and became Katrina. But Ahmet and I were both invited by the Fraternity of Evangelical Churches to be a part of this committee to do flood relief. And Ahmet was in charge of all the different committees on that committee, the different ministries involved. And they put me in charge of communication and finance, the only Francophone who was still learning French. And because of our roles, we worked very closely together for over 6 months doing flood relief. And our relationship just built up. And after about a year, we knew that God was putting us together. And we were engaged. And another year and a half, we were married. But when we got engaged, we shared with a couple of our friends who happened to be friends in common. And they said, well, it's about time. We've been praying for you guys for over a year. We had no clue. We weren't even looking. So
it's a match made in heaven, and God has put you guys where He wants you to be. So now, do you have children, and are they involved in missions in any way?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, we have one daughter. I went out as a single parent, but now she's Ahmet's daughter as well. And she was a preteen when we landed on the fields, but now she graduated high school out in Senegal, came back to the States, got her degree in anthropology, and now she has a bachelor's degree in nursing. And she's working as a nurse outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. And her husband are very involved in ministry. At their church, they met because he was involved in ministry. And they're hoping sometime in the future to go out on the mission field. But right now, they're busy building a family. They just had their third daughter.
Yes.
January 7th. So we have three granddaughters now, 2 4-year-olds and a 1-month-old, so almost 1 month.
So the 2 4-year-olds, are they twins?
No, actually. The oldest one, who was born in August of 2020, they're adopting.
Okay.
And then they have their biological daughter was born December of 2020. So they're exactly 4 months apart to the day.
Wow. They are almost twins.
Yeah, they're almost
twins. It's funny. So many couples, you know, for a long time, they can't have children for some reason. They go adopt, and it's like, that's exactly what I wanted them to do. And then God gives them their own children. You know, I've seen that happen so many times. Boy, he's really got a place for each child, too. Now, tell us about the work and the people God has called you to minister to there in Senegal.
Yeah, you know, Senegal is 95% Muslim. The population is about 18 million. And the large portion of the population is unreached. And what we are doing is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, and our goal is to reach each Senegalese person with the gospel.
Mm.
And, you know, the church is very small, and we can't do that by going door by door or by campaign, etc. This is why we use mass media like radio station. Mm. And until now, we have built six radio Christian radio station in six different regions. Our goal is to build 14 radio station with three objectives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the first one, the most important, is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in the local languages, to teach the word of God, the Bible, in local languages, and to give opportunity to the church to be more
visible,
okay,
more known. Yeah, and there are some ethnical group in Senegal with, I can say, no Christian among them, like those who live in the north of the country. We are targeting those people, and yeah, the Muslim in the country. And now we are seeing many fruits of that ministry, because the gospel is now sharing, you know, widely in the country. You know, many people are hearing the gospel, and the people we are in partner with, they are doing follow up. Of course, we do follow up, and yeah, this is what we do in Senegal. There is another chapter we opened 2 or 3 years ago. We are now reaching the Senegalese people in the diaspora.
Okay.
You know, Senegalese people like traveling, you know, and for better life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just traveling for fun. They don't have money for that.
Right.
But for better life, because the country is, I can say, poor. And there are some huge Senegalese community in Central Africa, in West Africa, in Europe, even in New York. And we started that ministry in partnership with churches and media like a Christian radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And they allow us to
put our products, our broadcasts.
Yes, in Senegalese local language, and to do the follow-up with them.
Mm-hmm.
And we started that ministry years ago in Côte d'Ivoire, West Africa,
mm-hmm,
in Gabon, Central Africa, in Italy, France, and we are New York too, yeah, in New York, because the Senegalese community in New York is huge.
Mm-hmm.
It is, huh?
Yes.
Wow. So let me ask you this question in regards to the Senegalese population, the people, and it's a question that just really came to my mind. What is the average life expectancy of a person in Senegal because of the poverty and so forth?
According to the government, it's around 45 and 50 years.
For men.
Yeah.
And okay, for women, maybe 60 years.
Yeah.
Is there any particular reason why it's so low for men?
Yeah, because of the poverty, because of the quality of the life, mm-hmm, you know, and there is a lack of health infrastructure in Senegal.
Mm-hmm.
And because people are poor, you know, they can't afford to go to see a doctor once a year or twice a year, you know, and sometimes if someone is sick, you know, most of the time they prefer to use traditional medicine, you know. And as I said, the quality of the life is very 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 low and tough, you know.
Yeah.
In some area, for people who live there, it's hard to find a meal 3 times a day.
Mm.
Many children grow up without having what a baby need, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have that what they need, you know. Yeah, and this happened a lot in the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a couple different things going on there. You know, the medical care is improving in Senegal, but it's very limited.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some very good doctors, but like there's one endocrinologist in the entire country.
Wow.
When COVID hit, there were only two, what do you call those, breathing machines in the entire country.
Is that right?
Time. Yeah. Wow. And so
in the public hospital.
Yes, in mm-hmm. the public
hospital, not the private.
In the public hospital. So that was really hard. And then, you know, people, because of the religion, even though it's Muslim, there's a lot of animism there. So mm-hmm. they will turn to holistic ministry before holistic medicine before going to a hospital, because they believe that going to the hospital is where you go to die.
Yeah.
So they don't want to go to the hospital. And part of the reason why that happens is because they use their holistic medicine for so long that their illness is never treated until it's already at the end. So it's this vicious circle.
Well, yeah, that was something someone had asked me about. Now, I guess maybe it was maybe 15 years ago or more, possibly, that you expressed your desire to use radio as a medium mm-hmm. To extend your ministry in Senegal. Can you tell us a little more about, you know, how you first got started? You know, what was the process, you know, and where it has brought you with radio today?
Oh, that's an interesting story. It started with the flood relief that we did. When we were doing flood relief in the slums of the capital city, there are different, we found that the work that we did was best used working alongside the community development associations. And after that flood, Ama and I kept going back and helping for several years with, you know, different things, food supplies, cleaning supplies, helping the community schools that are there. And we developed good relationships with a couple of the community development associations, one in particular. And one day, after several years, the leaders of one of the community development associations, they're all Muslim, they mm-hmm. asked Amit, they said, "Pastor Amit, wouldn't you like to share your religion on the radio?" And of course he said, yes, his quick response was yes. And they said, well, you know, we have a radio station. And we had been in and out of their building. We had been in and out of their building several times, I mean, regularly over the years. And we never noticed that they had a radio station. And they said, well, where's your radio station? They said, see that door down there? That's where our radio station, our production room is, and people go down and they do their broadcasts, and we have a technical side and everything. And then on the building, there's this huge antenna we never even noticed. So that's how we got started, was on their radio station, and they taught us a lot. And then after several years, we thought, well, we need to expand. So we started purchasing airtime on some large radio stations throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
And then God said to us, well, you need to have, the country needs to have their own Christian radio stations.
Yes.
And so we started doing research, and well, Amit especially with the government, and through a friend of ours who had passed away, he had given connections to Amit to the different agencies that need to be involved to file for frequency. Mm. And through, because of him and his relationships, even though he had already passed away, that allowed us to put in our first application. And it has to be done in a certain way by a technical person. There's a technical document that needs to be done that we don't know anything about. Uh-huh. And because of his relationships, our friend's relationship who passed away, he put us in touch with the person that was most known by the Senegalese government to allow us to get that done. And we've been working with him ever since. So we put in our first application in 2014. We're still waiting for that one.
Mm-hmm.
For the capital city of Dakar. But then in 2016, we put in our second application in another region, in Fatick. And by March of 2018, we inaugurated our first evangelical Christian radio station.
The last one was inaugurated on May 5th, 2024.
Yeah.
The sixth one. And you know, my wife did not mention that the time we work with that community group in the slum, we receive a word from God. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. When Paul said, "I will stay longer in Ephesus because God has opened a wide door for me." And we received that verse. We did not know what God wants to tell us, but now we realize, yes, God wants you to open a wide door, and that door is open because we already installed six Christian radio stations in the country.
Yeah, and our goal is to have one in each of the regions. There's 14 regions in Senegal, and our goal is to have one in each of the regions. Yeah. We have four more applications submitted to the government, and we're waiting for a response for those. So pray for those that we would get those approvals.
That's awesome. We'll do that. You know, I love it when God opens up doors wide, and he'll close doors to direct us. But that's an amazing, that's amazing that you would look and see what Paul said, because that applied to you just as well. It just goes to show that God does not change. Mm-hmm. He said that as his church, we're going to prevail. And, and you're in some pretty tough areas. One thing I wanted to ask about, there was a group of people a while back in a different area, what we call, my ministry, L1530. And they had some issues, some run-ins. They were being persecuted by the police and so forth. You know what group I'm talking about?
No.
In a neighboring country?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we call that L1530.
Yeah.
Anything that's going on with those? Have you heard anything from that group of?
We receive regular information, news from them, okay. And I met some of them last year, I think in December, or I met some of them.
Met with mm-hmm. some of them.
Yeah, I met with some of them. They are, it's very tough for them. It's very, very tough for them. But they are still doing the ministry, and the government allowed them to gather in their own houses to preach the gospel privately. You know, to serve the Lord, but privately, not publicly.
Right.
The government allowed them to do on, that way.
Yeah, that story is amazing, because many of those Amit knew from them coming down to a discipleship school or an evangelism school that Amit helped teach at. And when that whole thing came down in their country, they were basically, well, they were arrested, put in jail for several months, and they lost their jobs, they lost everything. But when it was all said and done, God prevailed. And, you know, before in their country, it was completely illegal to be anything but Muslim, the other religion. And by the end of it, the Christianity was recognized as another religion in that country. Now, they were told to do everything in private, not to be out doing street evangelism or anything like that. But it's now in the legal system recognized as a religion in that country.
Awesome.
So you wouldn't think that it would happen like that, but God took over and secretly made it all happen for his good.
Awesome. Yeah, we're continually praying for that group of people. I've always wondered, you know, what was going on there. You know, we didn't want to use the actual country name, name of the country for, you know, obvious reasons. So what I wanted to ask you is, what brings you the most joy in your ministry?
Oh, the most joy is meeting people who heard the gospel, you know. And that is, it's amazing because, you know, as I said, the country is 95% Muslim. And there are some very remote areas where people never heard about the gospel. And when we travel on those areas, or we receive a call from a listener from that areas, you know, you can't imagine our joys to see how the gospel is spreading now in the country. Yes, we that is the most joy we have.
And especially for Amit, when those areas have been on his daily prayer list for years, and then all of a sudden you get someone calling from that area saying, I want to know more, I want to know more. It's very exciting.
I received one day a call from a guy. He lives in the north of the country where we have a radio station. And from his village and the radio station, there is more than 300 miles.
Kilometers or miles?
Yeah, 352 kilometers.
Yeah. Yeah, almost about 280 miles.
Yes. Can you imagine? And that guy lived in the village, well know about the jihad in the long time ago. You know, people stood up from that village to go around the north of the country to spread Islam. You know, and now in that village, in that area, the gospel is spreading among those people.
Yeah, it's the area that's known as the door of Islam in Senegal.
Kidding. Wow. Oh, man, this is just too much, guys. You're killing me here with all this good news.
God's still working.
Awesome. That's awesome stuff. Now, again, so you're about, you know, Senegal is like 95%. So what is the closest percentage that you can give us of the Christian population in Senegal?
Okay, there's, as far as evangelical Christians, there's less than 0.5%. So there might be, 130,000?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe 130,000 maximum evangelical Christians. And not all of those are Senegalese either. Because if you look at the capital of Dakar, that's where the largest number of evangelical churches are found. But if you look at the number of Senegalese in each of those churches, there are very few, because Dakar is a metropolitan city. It has universities and businesses and things like that. So there are many, many students and businessmen from other West African and Central African countries that come to either study or run business. And those are the ones that are attending those churches, which makes it uncomfortable because the culture in those churches is not Senegalese. So the Senegalese don't feel comfortable going, even seeking God to attend there. But if you, when you get out of the city, like even in the slums of the city or out in the villages, they're 98 to 100% Senegalese, but they're smaller churches rather than being 100 or 200 attending. There's somewhere between 10 and 60 attending.
Okay. And what's the primary language or the national language there? And which language, Ahmet, do you speak mostly?
I speak mostly Wolof. And Wolof is the primary national language. Mm. And there are many in the country. If you know Wolof, you can communicate with people all around the country. And we use Wolof. We avoid French. French is the official language.
Okay.
We learn in French in school. We fill the official document in French, but we avoid French because for the Muslim Senegalese Muslim, they think you know, French is c'est pas une langue saine. Dirty language.
Yeah, it's not a clean language. It's the language of the colonizers.
Yeah, you can't use French to talk about God or something spiritual, you know.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. So the broadcast with the radio stations, it's mostly in the Wolof or totally in Wolof?
Not totally in Wolof. I use Wolof, but it depends on where the radio station is located.
Okay.
You know, for example, in the south, we use the local languages there, you know, spoken by the population in the south. And it depends on the region, because in each region, you can find one major local language, and we use that, you know.
Mm-hmm. But in the south, there are many major local languages. So our radio station in the south has the team. There's a team of people who do broadcasts, and they're using 12 different languages.
Wow.
In that radio station. Most others are using one or two, maybe three local languages.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And Alexa, how did you, language, having to go into Senegal, you had to learn another language. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, well, I'm still learning Wolof. I can communicate in different, you know, different settings, but if it's like a Wolof village, I have a hard time because they speak too fast. But if we're in a village where Wolof is the second language, then I can communicate well because people speak slower and their vocabulary is not as broad. It's closer to my vocabulary. But I speak French. I studied French in high school. 25 years before I went to Senegal.
Boy.
And so when I did not go to France or Canada in between, I just went straight to Senegal. And because of the first year when my veteran missionaries left, they put me in charge of the ministry. I really had to learn French because all the documentation, all the legal documents were in French. But when the flood came and I was put in charge of communication, being the only non-Francophone on the committee, my French had to come really very rapidly. So
so now you know why God had you take French in high school, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
And I thank God because I must have had some good teachers because it just kind of stayed there in, you know, what we call the basement of the brain, and it came back up the elevator when I needed it. But I know people who study French in different parts of the United States all the way through college, and they still struggle. So,
well, I've seen you guys in action with your you know, with your home visits and the way that you translate so that we can understand what's going on is simply amazing. People are actually awed by it. You know, we after we leave, after you're done and we're on our way, you know, people are just talking about, wow, you know, isn't that amazing how she can, you know, speak French, how she can translate. And, you know, it's amazing what God can do to help us to understand exactly what's going on, you know, with the work that you're doing in Africa. So it's always amazing. So what are the biggest challenges that you are facing in your ministry, and, you know, how do you handle them?
No, Vazi. Please.
Okay, that's one of them. Who's going to talk about it, and what are we going to share? There are several different challenges. One of them, of course, is, you know, the spiritual battle. Mm-hmm. In the different radio stations, we see God doing his work, and it's encouraging. But at the same time, we know we're in a spiritual battle, and we've had some incidences. One, like the radio station in the north, where another radio station basically hijacked our frequency, and they have a lot more power, and it's a bigger one. But the government, we've got good news. The government came back to us and said that they're going to do what they're supposed to do to make them use a different frequency. So awesome. We hope that they follow up with that. We're still broadcasting, but it's not being heard because it's stepped on, as you say in radio. So that's one of them. Another one is one of our radio stations. Someone intentionally crashed into the antenna and broke the antenna and several of our solar panels, and we had to have that repaired. But the biggest challenge is the follow-up ministry. Having enough people to respond to our listeners who call in and want to meet and know more about the gospel. So we do our best. We're grateful for technology like WhatsApp. But to get enough people to go out to where the people are in the remote areas, that's a big challenge. So each team needs another team of people to do follow-up. Each of the radio teams do. We're praying that the churches and the Christian communities would step up and participate in that. And some of them are, and some of them haven't quite got the vision.
Right.
But many of these radio stations reach areas where there's no church at all.
No.
And that's why it's so important to do follow-up, because eventually a church can be built
That's right.
And we've seen that happen, and that's pretty neat too. From our broadcast, there's a gal that we met in a village not too far from our first radio station, and she had been listening to our broadcast from Amit's broadcast on one of the local radio stations that we had been paying airtime for. But then once our radio station was put in, it was even stronger, and she worked in a marketplace in this marketplace village, and she came to the Lord through that. We met her in her village at her place of work, and she came to the Lord. And now she went back to her village, her home village, not where she works, but a nearby village where she lives, and shared the gospel with the people in her village. And there's a church of about 60 people meeting every Sunday under a tree. And the team, the radio team, in her region comes out periodically, and they'll do a church service with her and worship time with her as well, her and her church. And it's just amazing to see that happen. It's like the woman at the well.
Right. You know? Oh, yeah. She went back and told them. God's ways has not changed. And, you know, to tell you the truth, people haven't changed either. So, you know, the gospel is it's powerful. You know, it's yeah. very powerful. And it's good to hear those type of you know, blessings that happens in a nation. How can our listeners best support you, you know, right now, besides prayer, because, you know, every ministry needs prayer. And I know, you know, you take that seriously as we do here. What else can our listeners do to support you right now?
Mm-hmm. Well, we do covet those prayers, mm-hmm. but it does take quite a bit of finances to maintain the ministry, to keep it going. Each radio station to plant it costs somewhere, depending on the needs, if we have to construct a building or whatever, but just to purchase the materials itself is about, and to do a minor renovation is about $15,000. But to, if we had to do a building, it could be up to $30,000. But the other thing is to maintain, help encourage the radio team, to give them money. Mm-hmm. It's about $250 to $300 a month to just to maintain a radio station, with the paying the electricity, trying to make sure that the radio team has gas or transportation money to do the follow-up, or mm-hmm. even just to get back and forth to the radio station.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's some good insight right there, because frankly, I hadn't thought of it in that way as far as the station and the people that are there. To serve the listeners. So that is one thing we will definitely, you know, put out to our listeners. And I would like to see our listeners become real participants, partners with you in this ministry that God has given you. The other thing I wanted to ask was, in terms of the listeners there in Senegal, and obviously the signals bleed into other countries. Is that right?
Yes, yes. At least three of our radio stations bleed into other countries. So the radio station up in the north, it's strategically placed. It's pretty awesome. If we didn't have the other radio station right now stepping on it, we shared how it met that village to about 280 miles away. Mm-hmm. But it's on, it's right on the river, almost on the river, right next to the river that separates us from two other countries, on the northern and eastern border. And everyone knows that water carries frequencies.
Oh.
So even though we're restricted to, our frequency is restricted to a certain number of kilometers or miles, mm-hmm. they can't control what the elements do. And so the countries, that's how the frequency gets carried into the other regions or further out, is because it's following the river. And the river is carried across,
I didn't know that.
The borders and across. So that's pretty awesome. And the same thing in the south, it's reaching. If you know the, if you see the map of Senegal, it's surrounded by several other countries right. in the south, directly south of the region of Ziguinchor, where our radio station is Guinea-Bissau. So that's another country. They speak Portuguese and Creole there.
Really?
And so many of the languages are crossovers, the same ethnic groups mm-hmm. in the south as in that country. And so there's two rivers that surround that radio station. And one of them is the Casamance River, and mm-hmm. the other one is the Gambian River, which is surrounded by the country of Gambia. If you look at Senegal, you'll see there's like a little mouth opening where the country of Gambia is inside, which was a British colony, mm-hmm. surrounded by the Senegal, which was a French colony, and the same ethnic groups. So they're getting reached as well, the Gambia. Mm-hmm. And then part is almost, is that too skinny?
No.
But so those two countries are being reached by that radio station in the south.
Oh, maybe the one in the east of the country.
Yes.
Yeah, cross the border and touch Guinea.
No, that was the third radio station. Yeah. So then we have a radio station in the east, of Senegal, southeast of Senegal, which is not supposed to do this, but God is so gracious to us. It actually goes over mountains into the western part of Guinea. And I don't know how it does it, because technically the mountains should be an obstacle to the frequency. But God is carrying those programs into the country just to the east of it. And so we're pretty amazed at what God is doing. Because, again, there's some of the same ethnic groups on the other side as what's being preached on those radio stations. So,
well, here's what I would like to know. I mean, in terms of, you know, the frequencies and the boundaries and so forth, outside of, you know, are the Senegalese, are they using like transistor radios, or, you know, what kind of devices are they using to, or what are some of the devices they use to receive the signal?
They use traditional radio, transmitter.
Transistor radio.
Transistor, but they also use a cell phone, the smartphone, the listening station. That is very popular among young people.
Okay.
Among everybody, even the most simple phone now in Senegal, even if it's not a smartphone, it has a radio on it. So,
last year we bought some special device, you know, from the Christian organization in Canada, and with that device, they added the one of the frequency, radio frequency we have in Senegal. You know, it's called Fix.
No, it's
what is the name?
I forget how to say it, but anyway, they lock in just our frequency on the radio. So you can only hear our frequency on the radio, and then on top of that, they have the recordings in the local language of each of the region that we chose of the Bible. Yeah. So they can listen to the Bible and some Bible teachings, plus listen to our radio frequency in that region that we bought them for. And that's it. And they're solar power.
Yes.
So
very strong.
You can charge them by plugging them in, or you can charge them by solar.
Those devices are very, very helpful. And the problem is they are expensive, you know.
Yeah, I bet.
Very, 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 very helpful.
It's probably worth the investment from anybody I can pull together. I like that idea of that specialized equipment. Yeah, I often wonder which devices are being used in order to get there. And which is one of the reasons I love the internet, because our station, sagacityradio.com, has no boundaries. They may, in some countries, we can actually decide which countries of the 177 that, you know, we want to broadcast to. Of course, we don't pick out any, but we know. Maybe, you know, the signals could be blocked in some countries if they know. But I like the idea that you guys are able to get a device that zooms in just on your broadcast and, you know, get the gospel out to people. That's amazing. Well, you know, as we pray for you, I know there are going to be people who want to financially support your ministry, you know, make love offerings and whatever they can to support your ministry. Where can they go to do that?
Okay, we do ministry under a mission agency called Ripe for Harvest World Outreach, and they have a website. It's www.ripeforharvest.com. And if you look up under the staff members, our last name is Fall, F-A-L-L, like the season.
Mm-hmm.
And we have three different accounts there. One of them is our personal account. And then another one is for holistic, you know, ministry, benevolent giving.
Okay.
And then the one that specifically where the greatest need is our media account that's called Kadugusegi.
Okay.
And that would be the one that you would want to give to help out with the media. And you can go on there and it gives you all the information you need to either give by sending a check,
mm-hmm.
Automatic draft from your bank account, or a credit card.
Awesome.
The credit card's the quickest, but there is a small fee. But there's no fee for the automatic draft or the check by mail.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, listen, it has really been good to be with you guys today. And once again, I want to thank you for taking the time to share the things that God is doing through you and your ministry. We love you both here. And, Nancine and I and Mercedes, we have a great appreciation for your service to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that there are other people who are really grateful and they look at your toil. One of our prayers is that you quickly see the works of your hands. That's not always visible. It's not always immediate. And sometimes it may never until we get to heaven. And then he shows us all of these things that he did through us. And so I'm so glad to be able to do this with you and get this out to our listeners. And listen, thank you so much for coming in. And Ahmed, I think you'll be going to Senegal pretty soon. Is that right?
Yeah, this coming Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And are you packing? Are you packing anything, taking anything with you?
Yeah, pray for me because I have two suitcases full of radio material.
Okay.
Yeah, pray that God takes care of those material we need in Senegal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to pay, custom fees,
oh,
you know.
Yeah, and you don't want to get hijacked either. So, you know how the devil is. He's always mm-hmm. on the lurk, you know, to try to stop things from happening for God. So, all right, well, we'll be praying for a safe journey. And once again, Ahmed and Alexia Fall, thank you so much for coming on to our radio station and sharing what God is doing. Bless you, and hopefully we'll be talking to you soon.
Amen.
Thank you so much, and give our love to Nancine and Mercedes.
Will do. Will do, guys. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. As you have just heard, God is mightily using Ahmed and Alexia Fall to spread the gospel in Senegal through the use of mass media, which is also impacting several countries bordering Senegal. As you have also heard, one of the biggest challenges is the ability to follow up with those who hear the gospel on their radios, cell phones, and other special devices. It is a good problem to have. Nonetheless, follow-up cannot be done in a timely manner without your prayers and financial support. Many times, station attendants have to travel long distances to follow up on those listeners who are calling into the stations for Bibles and for more information about Jesus. That requires a small stipend for station attendants to gas up and go. Saints, it takes prayer and money to make sure the radio stations in Senegal are established, staffed, and sustained. You can partner with Ahmed and Alexia Fall by going to the website www.ripeforharvest.com. That's www.ripeforharvest.com. Click on the staffing link and scroll down until you see the names Ahmed and Alexia Fall to contribute to the radio ministry. I'm sure you will want to be part of the exciting things God is doing through Ahmed and Alexia as they minister in Senegal. I'm E. Lawrence Williams. Thank you for listening. World Missions Moment on Q and SagacityRadio.com are productions of LifeWord Ministries, Worldwide Gospel Media Incorporated.